This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, August 31st, 2024. Votive Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
The weak things of the world hath God chosen, that he may confound the strong. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first reading today from 1 Corinthians sounds nice if you just kind of read through it really quickly. But if you really pay attention to what God is saying, it is a pretty up-in-your-face reality check about who we are in our nature. Of course, the weak things of this world, oh yes, we're all weak and all this. He actually gets a little bit more detailed into that. He goes through a list of different kinds of people that he does not use. He does not use the rich. He does not use the wise and everything. It says he actually uses things that are not. That's the old versions, things that are not. Sounds kind of weird in English. In the newer versions, it says he uses things that are nothing. That starts to really kind of drive the point home, because he's talking about us. He's talking about Gentiles. The Greek word that's actually translated there as things that are not, or things that are non-entities. An entity is something that exists. Non-entities don't exist. It's like, yeah, I use things that don't even exist. One of the things that stands out is the reality check that God's given us. You know, and he's trying to, it's kind of interesting. He's emphasizing his love for us, but this is how much, it's why he wants to present to us how much he truly loves us, because before I loved you and called you to myself and opened your heart to faith, you were nothing. Nothing. It's kind of pulls the rug out from under any kind of prideful approach toward the whole thing. But I mean, God always works this way. He works this way in history. It's all started with what? Bringing Israel out of the land of Egypt. Israel, the holy people, God's chosen race. Who were they before they were chosen? Chattel slaves. Chattel slaves in Egypt. Today, Saturday, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Look at the Blessed Virgin Mary. Same thing. Who does God use? I need to pick this holy queen that's somewhere, and I'll use her to be the mother of my son, this daughter of a king. So, no, Mary, who we don't know anything about before the angel showed up and gave her the Annunciation. And all the saints are all examples of God using things that are, let us say, very, very lowly in this world, and then exalting them if they cooperate with the grace and they show their humility in understanding what God has done for us. The call of faith is due to God's merciful goodness. This is what we need to understand this. We need to understand that we are sitting here today because of God's goodness. We didn't figure this out. Yeah, you know, I read a couple books and, you know, listened to some YouTube stuff, and I'm going to go be a Catholic. No. However it happened, it was the Holy Spirit that guided you and directed you into this faith. But you cooperated with those graces. You did show up. You did continue to read things. You did consider to watch YouTube videos. They're not all bad. Okay. Some are very good. Because of God's actions, his actions, we are made new creatures. In the second letter, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he actually says that. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ we are new creations. We are a new creature. Whereas we were non-entities before, now we are children of God. Let's listen to the scriptures. Let's listen to Corinthians. Let's listen to the last gospel that we hear everywhere. To them who believe gave he power to become the sons of God. Okay, we're talking about in a salvific sense, not a creative sense. Not everybody, not most people are children of God in a salvific sense, contrary to what the presentation that you might hear in our day and age. It's not that way. This is why we should feel so gloriously humbled by the fact that God Almighty himself calls us to him. Why? Ask him when you get there. Why did he use Israel? Why did he use them in order that we will know that it is up to him? In that Corinthians passage, you know, the Jews ask for a sign and the Greeks want human wisdom. God doesn't say, you Jews are wrong for this and you Greeks are wrong for that. He lumps them together. The Jews and the Greeks want this and everything, but they'll receive nothing. Because why? Because they're seeking something for their own aggrandizement. We need to be validated as the chosen people of God, so we need to see the next miracle, this, that, or the other thing. We need to see signs. And the Greeks, we just want to be smart. You want to be able to answer all the questions about everything. You're not going to answer all the questions about God. That's not going to happen. This is why he uses the weak things of the world to present himself, things that are nothing. I mean, it really kind of, if you even notice, he doesn't even say men who were nothing or people who were nothing, things that are nothing. That's, again, gives us an idea. Again, Israel, the Blessed Virgin Mother, you know, you see them, things that were nothing. Our Blessed Virgin Mother, you know, think of how we view her now as Catholics. How we venerate her. We venerate her so much, we get accused of worshiping her, and we should venerate her that much. All right. She's the mediatrix of all graces. All right. She's the mother of God. But what was she before? She was a poor teenage girl, and all of a sudden, the mother of God. Today in the old calendar is the memorial of Saint Raymond Nonatus. Again, he's a prime example, particularly his name. Nonatus is not a surname. It's what they called him. It's a Latin. It means not born, because he was not born. His mother died while she was in labor with him. And to save the child, they did what I guess in the 13th century was considered a C-section. They actually opened her side and took him out of that. So he was always called Raymond Nonatus, Raymond who was not born. This is how this man starts. You're not even born. So you got this man, this is his beginning from a very, very early age. He doesn't know his human mother, never had any contact with her whatsoever. And he's devoted tremendously to the mother of God. He chooses her as his mother. And he lives a life of humility as a religious. And then he's actually called to the cardinalatial dignity. It was back in the day when you could become a cardinal and you didn't have to be a bishop. Okay, they used to have cardinal priests and cardinal deacons and all this kind of stuff, which is kind of cool. They don't do that anymore. Whatever. They should. But he's a cardinal, and he's religious. And you know, when you're a cardinal, you get all the red stuff, and even no matter what kind of cardinal you were at the day, you got all the accoutrement, you got all the ceremonial, everything. He shunned it. He shunned every piece of it. He did the functions of a cardinal, but he didn't hang around with the whole celebration thing unless he had to. He always lived in his humility because, as one commentator said, the humble man delights in abasement. This is true humility. You know, I want to talk about this humility stuff and God using nothing. If we know that, if we understand that, and we should, then we should act like it. We should act like it. We ought not be haughty about things. The humble man delights in abasement. Never unnecessarily attracting attention to yourself. You know, it's really kind of weird. Some people try to attract attention to themselves by presenting how humble they are. Hey, the first thing you need to know, if somebody says that they are humble, they're not. Okay, and I'm not talking about when we pray and we say, oh Lord, we humbly beseech you. We are telling him how we want to be perceived. But if somebody says, I'm humble, so I do this, I'm humble, and it's happened here within the past few years, several times, someone repeatedly refers to themselves as, I'm humble to do this. That negates humility. You don't call yourself humble. It's obvious by not calling yourself humble. Okay, we don't walk around, you know, all the kind of dejected countenance and everything with our heads hung low and things like that. No, because why? That attracts attention to yourself. We should never attract attention. We should never be ostentatious. Ostentation, anything that smacks of singularity. Hey, look at me. Or I'm going to do something different because, you know, I had a discussion with somebody a few months ago about something. And, well, I do this because, you know, I want to show my humility. I said, well, it's just the opposite. It doesn't show your humility. You're the only one that does this around. You're drawing attention to yourself. It's singularity. It's like when some people, you come into worship, you come into mass, and you get one person who's visiting or something, and they're going to take upon themselves to stand there like this during, you know, and that's, no, this is corporate worship. Well, this is how I pray. Well, stop. Do that at home or go where people do that. That's not what we did. You're drawing attention to yourself. It's singularity. Okay, these things apply. Now, you got to always look at the other side. Folks that are orthodox in their faith, I mean, like doing what the scriptures say, when you wear a chapel veil. I get asked a lot, if I'm over at that place, you know, I think I get accused of drawing attention to myself. No, you're not. You're doing what God says. Okay, if that draws attention to you, that's good, because the excuse isn't, I like the way it looks, or I'm traditional. It's, I do what it talks about in Corinthians. So it's an apples and oranges proposition. It's kind of sad if you're the only one that's someplace that's doing what God says. Be careful with the nuances. We avoid singularity, you know, bringing attention to us, me, ourselves, whether it's in conversation, in our gestures, the way we carry ourselves, the way we pray, the way we dress, even when you're at dinner somewhere. Don't be drawing attention to yourself, everybody else has got a nice place of food and you're, I'm only going to eat a little bit of salad because, you know, you're drawing attention to yourself. Put stuff on your plate, don't eat it maybe, pick at it and things like that. But don't make yourself stand out. This is abasement. I love this comment. I wish it was mine. I'm quoting. Earthly goods, riches and dignities, pleasures and the praise of men do not allure the humble. He is aware that he is none the better for them in God's sight, and they may prove his ruin. I love that last part. If you have things in this world and God has blessed you, excellent. Excellent. Use it for his glory. Use it for his glory, no matter what it may be. Your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever it might be. All of the above. Use it for his glory. Know that notice that you are temporarily in custody of it. Because when you die, it will be here. It will belong to somebody else. Yeah, my family. Maybe. Unless they give it away to somebody else, because, you know, by the time we're dead, it's usually not the next generation, like your kids, but your grandkids, they're probably not going to know your parents' names. Statistically speaking, that's the case. We get forgotten really, really, really quickly. So this is the reality. So you don't get a better standing in God because you get all this kind of stuff down here. And that last part, it may prove your ruin. Always look at the blessing, even the blessings that God has given you, be careful of them, because we in our nature, there are good blessings from God, but we in our nature have this tendency to misuse things like that. And we don't want that because they may prove our ruin. We must. Like all this humility stuff that I said, I made mention before. If you have blessings from God, no matter what it may be, no matter how much it may be, it is false humility to walk around and not use that or keep talking about how you wish you didn't have things. No. The Blessed Virgin Mary herself in the Magnificat, what does she say? He that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. Those great things that he's done for you, give him the credit. Give him the credit enjoy them, use them for His glory, but don't try to play the, oh, you know, woe is me because I'm rich. Woe is me. You know, no, that's not the way we play. All right. That's not what God wants from us. And if the Blessed Virgin Mary is our example of both humility and he that is mighty hath done great things to me and holy is his name. You see both sides of the coin there. We need to understand both sides of the coin, but we always also want to understand who we are before God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.